Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jaro, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jaro.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jaro.
All right, and we are back now with episode number 34, I'm pretty sure, of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Got kind of a cool podcast planned for this one. Similar stuff to what we normally do, but we've got some race results to talk about, which is exciting. Upcoming race to talk about, which is exciting. We haven't had those two things for quite some time. Got a really cool interview later on with a local runner and outdoor enthusiast, really, Kyle Schmidt. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. And everything else that we normally do, we'll try to get to in this episode. Mike, how have you been? I've been seeing you probably since our last Skype call.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. Doing really well. Yeah, it definitely is exciting for our episode number 34 here of the Duluth Rundown. It feels like, you know, kind of getting ready for the normal race year. The races are coming back, the energy. It's we're excited.
And weather had the snap in our last two podcasts. Now in the last days, it's gotten warm and the snow is melting. How is your running coming along, Mike? This better weather.
Oh man, it sure helps, huh? I mean, just when it's 30 degrees versus literally negative 30, if you factor into the wind chill, it makes such a difference with wanting to get outside, and also just logistically easier. I mean, it's less clothes, but you know, I run with my dogs a lot, and it is officially wet dog underbelly season, as I call it, where the kind of the flurry of melt water and road sand and salt and everything just mixes together. And, you know, usually it sticks pretty well on the, you know, the knee down on a human, but on a dog, it just sprays right up on their belly. And I mean, I'm doing towel laundry every day, it seems, these days.
That's funny. It's something I'd never considered. I'd never heard of, but it makes total sense. I guess it's just nice to have two legs instead of four. Yeah, I know that my running, like, the better weather is godsend. That cold snap really kind of got to me after a while. My spirits started to drop a little. And then we went on a quick vacation. Certainly training is really difficult, let alone just trying to even effort to get out every day. Yeah. That took a little bit of a hit. We skied, but I only ran the one time while we were up the shore.
Yeah. Yeah, getting back into it, I just have sympathy for all those with white colored dogs, because
it's like a Dalmatian underneath.
Yeah, seriously. Well, should we get going on some of our exciting race news?
Tony? Yeah, let's do that. Let's start with what results? You want to start there?
Yeah, great. Yeah, we have results coming in from, it was a couple weekends ago now, I believe it was February 20th. Sounds like a very successful frozen 4-hour and 5K, part of the Duluth Winter Trail Series, went off without a hitch at Lester Park in Duluth. And I know that you were there, Tony. We'll get to that in a sec. But first, for some race results. Races, there's the one loop of the course, which is the 5K. It's just a 5K race. That was won by Eric Nordgren, who was recently featured on the Duluth Rundown. So big props to Eric for, first of all, interviewing with us, but also pulling off the win in a course record time of 23 minutes and 7 seconds. And the 5K was won by, on the women's side, by Emily Johnson from Duluth. 27 minutes, 15 seconds. So definitely a speed time from Emily. Nice work. And then the four-hour competitors, they do the 5K loop over and over for 4 hours. You know, whoever gets the longest mileage wins. And that race was won by Ryan Soll, former Duluth resident, now residing in Woodbury. And he comes up to Duluth quite frequently to run trail races, I know, and definitely a pretty fit dude. He pulled out the win with 28.69 miles. Now, the course record from last year was set by Matt Eidenschink, 28.7. So Ryan was 1/100 of 1 second off from tying the course record anyways. And almost a mile back was Chris Rubesch, a local Duluth runner. So he's been featured on the podcast a couple times. Various forms, 27.89 miles, so 28 miles back. And then from Duluth was just a bit back from there with 27.2. On the women's side, we had Tammy Braun from Cushing, Wisconsin. She's been featured a few times on the Duluth Rundown podcast in our race results section. She had 22.72 miles. And then Anna Haskins was second place for the women, 21.42. And Lisa Byrne from Duluth, 20.39 miles. So, yeah, definitely super exciting just to see some solid results come out. Yeah, we can hear from race director, or at least half of the race production team, Kim Holock. Should we cut right now to the kind of that brief interview that you took, Tony?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that, where we talked to stopped down at the race and talked to Kim real quick while she was out there at the start-finish line waiting for runners to come in.
All right, let's hear from Kim quick.
All right, and I am joined here with Kim Holock out at the kind of the start-finish area of the four-hour winter trail race. Kim, thanks for joining, and tell us about the race.
So the race is the final race of our Duluth Winter Trail Series, and we have a four-hour race and also a 5K. So people just started at any time. A lot of them came around 9 o'clock. In between 9 and 10, we had a lot of starters, and they're out here. They just start their watches or whatever device they're using and go for as many miles as they can for 4 hours.
And people could start a little bit late if they needed to, is that correct?
They sure could. They could start at 4 p.m. tonight and finish in the dark at 8, and just as long as they upload their track file to show what distance they got in the total of 4 hours.
Very cool. And how many runners do you have here in the two races?
So our 5K is actually pretty small. We only have about 15 or 16 runners, and I don't know if they've all even checked in yet. The four-hour race is we had 61 register, but I don't know if they've all checked in, but we have quite a few out here right now.
That's really good considering, well, one, it's cold outside and it's the pandemic and all that. Those are really good numbers for, and it's a four-hour race, and who wants to go that long? But apparently a lot of people do, so that's really awesome. Here comes Jonas. We just saw Shelley Thompson go through. I've seen a lot of local Duluth runners kind of cruising through the start-finish area on, what, their third, did you say, third, fourth lap?
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of them are probably on their fourth lap. We have Jonas, who actually only signed up for the 5K, but he just finished his third lap. He did the first one as a warm-up, the second one as a race, and the third one as his cool-down.
Nice. Jonas, you have any more laps in you?
No, that's it.
That's it? That's pretty good. So, what, you got 15K in? Something like
yeah.
that? Yeah. Sweet. Pretty good for a 5K, ultra 5K.
Yeah.
Very cool. We got a lot of folks coming down the hill. Kim, I'm going to let you get back to work. But thanks for joining us, and good luck for the rest of the day.
Yeah, thanks for coming down, Tony. Good to see you.
All right, and so yeah, that was a quick little interview with Kim. It's really cool to see her and talk to her. Andy was just getting ready to go out and do a little bit of the run on some of the route himself. Kim was kind of manning that little aid station. And when I stopped down, I have to say, just from watching, it was so cool just to see a race go on again, just to see runners come through, and so many people that I knew had a chance to at least say hi to. Obviously, everybody's racing, so they're not going to stop and chat, but it was cool just to see everybody and give them a shout. And, yeah, I know that they were excited, too, to have an actual.
Yeah, a lot of smiles.
Lots of smiles. Everybody was pretty pumped. Yeah, really cool. And a really cool route.
Yeah.
Doing for that event, get a chance. You know, Mike and Lester. So it's one direction. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much all downhill, and the other direction pretty much all uphill.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a bit of a challenge that way, but a lot of fun in gorgeous park. And it was a beautiful day out there too. Really nice. It was kind of sunny. The snow was good. It enough stick to it, what I could tell. Just a really nice day to be out.
Yeah. Nice. And it's super exciting just to see other races back on the docket. Namely, Grandma's Marathon, I think, has really been spearheading through the whole pandemic. I'll kind of say like a template to get the races back going. And so this is pretty much season two in the pandemic for Grandma's Marathon, and their first race of the year is coming up in just a couple weekends, 2 weeks, week and a half, I guess, probably from when most listeners will be hearing this, but the St. Fennessy 4K coming up on Saturday, March 13th. Registration definitely still looks to be open, and should be a great opportunity to get out and run a race. So.
Yeah, and I was kind of even just peeking down the road at weather conditions and looking like, I mean, it's 2 weeks away, so we don't know, but it's looking good at this point. So the roads should be clear unless we get some sort of freak storm. Good conditions to get out and run a road race. Sure, I know that race is always really popular.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't look like any other races kind of in the near future anyways, but that's kind of par for the course for, you know, this time of year, and it's going to be really exciting to see kind of what's able to come back come, you know, April, May, when kind of race season gets traditionally back into swing more here in Duluth.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, well, how about we move on? I know you had, Tony, some thoughts on the run.
Yeah, so it's actually, I was thinking about it, and it was the very day of the Frozen 4-Hour race. My training group and I, we were starting from Leicester, so we were down on the main parking lot off of Leicester River Road. We started at 8 a.m. The race started at 9, so that's why I was down there, and that's why I swung by the race after our training group run got done. Say hi. Anyway, we're standing in the parking lot. Like I mentioned, it was a pretty nice day. As we're standing there kind of waiting for everybody to show up and get our run started, looking around at the parking lot, and got a big group of runners, got people that were mountain biking on the trails, got people that were skiing. There was a handful of people snowshoeing on some of the trails. There was some snowmobilers who were just taking their sleds off the trailers. It was just so indicative of Duluth. It's, you know, this really nice winter day, different groups of people doing their different activities, all getting out and enjoying the park. Just really cool to see as I was looking around going, what a cool town that we have. And, you know, everybody's enjoying their thing and doing what they like to do. Duluth is able to offer so many opportunities. It was just really cool to see. And it was a good reminder that, we live in a pretty cool
Absolutely. And, and we already talked about this once, but like, you know, when there's a kind of a brutal weather snap, you know, like in this case, really cold, and then finally like a warm, sunny day, which I believe the day you're referencing was kind of like the first warm, sunny day. Oh man, everyone's got a cabin fever. And I just can't imagine that happens to the same extent in somewhere like Tucson, Arizona or something. Know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that elation of finally some really nice weather, that's a pretty fun and intense feeling to have. Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone living in this climate can relate that awesome feeling of the first nice day after a cold snap or whatever. Yep. Whether, you know, whether it's rainy, a week of rain in the summer or what have you. So, yeah, very cool. And cool to see, you know, yeah, we're lucky here to have a resource like one of 100, really, Lester Park, where people, no matter what you're into, you can enjoy, get out there. And, yeah, cool.
Yep, for sure. I think Lester's my favorite park. Do you have a favorite park, Mike?
I mean, I got to go with my local Chester. Park, you know, it's just my local like neighborhood. I feel like, you know, I'd be trashing my block if I said anything different. So
I can't remember if we've talked about this or not, but yeah, Lester's probably my favorite. I have to, well, I can run there, I guess, like there, but I drive there. But just the variety of what Lester has to offer, especially with the creek and Lester River and the water features and the amount of space, I just really like Lester.
A lot of options.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned it about 3 weeks ago briefly, and so I am dying to know, Tony, how are new shoes?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of pairs of new shoes, relatively new shoes, but the one ones I want to talk about a little bit today, I'm only going to talk about because I've got more miles on them. So it's the Brooks Hyperion Tempo. Got those up at Austin Jaro. Must have been late fall, actually. Early winter. It's a lightweight performance training shoe, so maybe not, I guess, grand scheme of things, maybe not the kind of shoe that you might kind of just plow miles in the wintertime when you're not doing workouts as much, but it's got enough cushioning where you could use that as your daily trainer if you're a person who had multiple shoes for different reasons. Certainly can handle that. The best, kind of like a Saucony Kinvara, but a little bit more higher up, maybe a touch more cush, and I think a more responsive underneath the foot. So I, for a fartlek day or some stuff, as long, and I take it down to the lake walk, and I just do it if the lake walk's clear enough where I can run with a little more confidence. But I have to say, and I ran in it again the other day, just about days ago, maybe. It's awesome. It is such an awesome shoe. Just offers everything that it's supposed to do in terms of performance. You just feel really zippy, but like a classic racing flat with a low stack height, or there's not a lot of foam underneath your foot. Those things, especially on the pavement, can sometimes beat you up a little bit. You don't get that feeling from Hyperion Tempo because you're cushioning underneath there. I just love the shoe. Super pumped to utilize it more. Spring, and it'll be a great race shoe whenever you get a chance to do races, especially some longer distance. Probably wouldn't, maybe a 10K, but more like a half marathon or even a marathon. Yeah, super cool shoe.
Now, I'm seeing a lot of differences in the upper these days. I mean, the knit upper in the last, you know, handful of years with the Nike Flyknit, maybe the last 8 years, has kind of, you know, been, I feel like, steadily gaining more traction and more of a widespread adoption, I'll say. I mean, what's the upper like on the Hyperion?
Yeah, so it's not a knit upper. It's more of a classic, I guess, I don't quite know the exact material, but more of a classic mesh style of upper that you might expect running shoe. It's a more of a tighter weave mesh. It's not like an open, I guess, quote unquote, breathable mesh, though the shoe is fine for breathability. Just not that the new knit stuff that you see.
Right.
And to me, it locks my foot in pretty well. The upper does. I have a relatively, sometimes that can become an issue. But I have no problems locked in. I happen to take it around a sharp corner, and, you know, sometimes you can kind of feel the foot slip off the edge of the foam underneath to some extent on a shoe that doesn't lock your foot in. I have no problems in this shoe at all. So, a lot of times when shoe companies release shoe for the first year, that first model isn't always that great, and they get it right on the try. This one's a home run right out of the box, I think.
Nice. Interesting. I think a lot of people might be looking for a shoe like that, you know, kind of getting into the spring months here. So, excellent to kind of review and have some good feedback on.
Yeah, definitely give that one a shot. Go up to Austin Carl and I can talk more about that one, that shoe with you as well.
Right on. Yeah. Awesome. I know it's kind of funny, you know, talking before the episode, it's like, geez, you know, we haven't done a What I'm Into segment for a while. Neither of us are really into anything these days, inadvertently. I know there's one thing that at least spurred a conversation that might be worth bringing up. So I'll ask, Tony, what are you into lately?
Yeah, so exactly. I was thinking about it on a run one time. I was like, man, I don't feel like we've talked about that for a little while on the podcast. Is what I'm into. Maybe to the delight of the listeners, I'm not sure. But one thing I was thinking about we have coming up is our place, we ordered an outdoor sauna kit. And that should be showing up here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're hoping. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't have a lot of experience with saunas. And the times that I have been in them, I've enjoyed it. I know a lot of people talk about some benefits, not only just everyday health, but even your athletic benefits that you might get from saunas. So yeah. I'm curious to, you know, with our listeners, you know, if anybody's had some experience with, you know, not only with saunas, but how do they affect your athletic endeavors, whether you ski or bike or run or swim or whatever. I'm curious, you know, shoot us a message on Facebook or shoot us an email, or even in person, if you see us out, let us know. It'd be kind of cool to hear from people who are more experienced than I am with saunas. I know one guy, I don't know if he'd be listening or not, but I know one guy who on and the local athlete is Jonas Righty. He's got one at his house. And
yeah, and it's a good question. You know, I think something that's very, very interesting in the kind of the purview of the Duluth Rundown podcast, you know, where we talk about strictly running pretty much. But, you know, of course, saunas are relaxing to a lot of people and enjoyable and this and that. But, you know, really interesting from a performance standpoint or recovery standpoint, because you kind of hear about, you know, saunas could be good for you, you know, if you're an athlete and stuff. But it would be very interesting, I think, to hear from some local runners if they actually utilize that as a recovery or performance tool, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So if you got some info for us, let us know. We'd love to hear it.
Let us know. Yeah. And well, if we don't hear from anyone, then everyone's relying on you, Tony. You're going to have to do some independent research here.
Yeah, it's another gear review.
Yeah. Yeah, next year, gear review on the sauna kit.
You know, and I'm also curious, I definitely will be kind of an experiment for myself on this. I'm also curious to see how I feel about it in the summertime. Right. A summertime tool. Obviously, you know, you think about the winter and you've got the changes of the temperatures. You step outside, you get cold, you go back inside, you sweat, and vice versa. Keep that up. But in the summertime, it's probably a different experience, would be my guess. I'm curious, is that what that experience is like? Is it a bad, oh, I don't want to get in the sauna, or I still want to do it? Because
I mean, I can't imagine like really feeling that desire, like, ooh, it's July, I'm already sweating, but I'm going to go into a place that's way hotter even, you know?
Right, exactly.
Versus the winter, it's like a nice little break from the cold that's everywhere, you know?
Yeah, especially sometimes, you know, when you get home from a run or a ski or something and you sweat, cold now, the car just doesn't get you warm enough. You'll be able to have that sauna ready when you get home and hop in.
Well, you'll have to do like a hard workout or like a race effort or something, and then try it once with the sauna, like right after, and once without it. Or I'm really curious, as you do some kind of testing and research on your own self, you know, what you find from, I think the recovery aspect is the most interesting to me.
Yeah. And you'll have to come over and try it sometime.
All right. I'll take you up on that. So I think the last segment that we have today is a kind of a shout out segment to some of our listeners who commented on our riveting partly guardrail rotation direction conversation from episode 33, and I know that you got some good feedback that you've kind of compiled, Tony.
Yeah, so we did get some info from people, mostly just people that I ran into out and about it to me, but Jarl did respond on our Facebook page that he flip-flops it every time. One time it was clockwise, the next time he goes counterclockwise. That's a pretty good idea. Maybe other people do that. I had never heard of that. But the predominant by far. I only talked to one person who clockwise like me. So I talked to Kim Holak, Lisa, a couple other people who I can't remember right off the top. Got that info. Oh, Dave Schuneman, he and I were talking. In fact, Dave and I ran it last weekend and made me go counterclockwise. It was weird. I did not enjoy it.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't like a welcome change of pace.
No, it was familiar, foreign, kind of like, you know, like Stranger Things, upside down.
No.
Felt like I was in Stranger Things and down. It was familiar, but not.
Funny. That's interesting. I think it's good to have that unfamiliar when, especially if you do the same route over and over, which for me, I tend to get locked into just like a route that I do over and over and over and then kind of get bored of it. And I don't know why I get stuck in these kind of habits, I guess, but it's nice when that happens to just totally switch it up. And you know, if you like the route, you know, the conditions are good, like Hartley's been beautiful lately or something. And just to do it opposite, I think is that fresh. Yeah. So I do it all over the place. Although I will again repeat that counterclockwise seems more intuitive. And it seems like the right way. I don't know, I'm not crazy anyways.
No, I think you're with the majority on that one.
Funny. Well, yeah, good to hear from some of our listeners. And we love that kind of feedback, and keep it coming, everyone. Anything else we got on this this episode 34 here, Tony?
I don't think so. I think maybe we get to the interview with Kyle. Fun to hear from him.
Yeah, let's hear from Kyle Schmidt then.